You bet your ass it's good.
What's up, guys? This is Lance with the You Bet Your Ass It's Good podcast. In this question and answer episode, we discuss overrated seasoning blends, the perfect starter meal for new cooks, chili contests, Mexican buffets, homemade pasta and fresh pasta, Taco Bell hot sauce, paella rice, and much, much more. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast for many more conversations about cooking amazing food. You can also look us up under the same name on Instagram and Facebook. Be sure to check out our YouTube channel for some awesome cooking how-to videos and visit our website to check out some recipes and pick up some spice. I should warn you, we do use the occasional expletive. We're just being ourselves. Aaron, Christy, and myself all met in professional kitchens in Louisiana. We're very passionate about food and cooking. We want everything we do at You Bet Your Ass It's Good to be authentic. The name of the podcast is You Bet Your Ass It's Good. Hope you all have an awesome day and enjoy this episode of the You Bet Your Ass It's Good podcast. All right, so I feel like I should go ahead and say that this is the second time around for some podcasting.
For Q&A.
Yeah, Q&A. We were on a little clip to do like one bit of content in the podcast world every 7 to 10 days. And I botched it. Lance, that's me. I'm the one.
You didn't botch it.
I botched it.
Shit happens. Shit happens.
Shit does happen.
Listen, you got cocky. You didn't test your audio before we recorded. You just got cocky.
It was going along so damn good. I didn't think there was a point in checking it.
You're a damn good cook, and you're like, fuck, I'm a damn good podcast engineer too. I don't need to check it. I don't need to check my audio. Why would I do such a reasonable thing?
Right. I flew too close to the sun on wings of pastrami.
Ooh, pastrami is good.
So before we jump into the episode, let's record a little bit of bullshit because I want to hear what you've been doing, like as far as cooking and what you've been up to, but I got to tell you about this fire pit.
The videos are ridiculous.
I'm hooked, dude. It's so when we moved into this house, it's just a little plain, regular, house, brick house. And then back in the very back corner of the house, there was a stack of bricks that were the house, you know, the bricks that the house was built from, spare bricks, like from a repair job or something. It was done years and years ago. So the previous owner left them for us. So they've been sitting back there, man. It was a stack. It was like 8 feet by like 3 feet, a big stack of bricks. And I kept telling myself, you know what? I'm going to draw out this perfect badass fire pit. It's going to be fucking brick and it's going to just be gorgeous, you know? And I was going to like, you know, my original plan was I wasn't going to do anything until I could really spend the time and the money to like build an actual brick cooking area.
Yep.
Well, that's bullshit. So that's that's being handicapped by perfectionism. Because the other day, whenever that was, a week ago or 2 weeks ago, I was bored. I was like, I'm going to take this bunch of bricks, haul them to a random spot in the yard over by the patio, and I just turned them into a little fire pit. And I robbed a grill from like an old cheap little Nex grill, portable gas hibachi looking thing.
Yeah,
man. And the rest is, you know, you've been seeing it on Instagram and on Facebook.
I will say
it's so
in the
fun.
Pictures, it looks 10 times bigger than it actually is.
Yeah. So you saw the picture of me cooking on it the other day. Finally, Chrissy
yeah,
kind of got
like,
a picture.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's I was not like, that oh, big.
It's not that big. The other pictures, it looked like monstrous. And then I saw one with you standing next to it. I was like, oh, okay, this is just it's a little area here.
It's a little small fire, little fire pit. The best part is I have enough bricks to build something that I could stand at and not even have to lean over.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, but man, our backyard is in flux. We don't really know where we want anything to land permanently. So we didn't want to do all that.
It's very cool. I respect it.
I mean, you know,
I respect it.
The other fun thing is, man, it's like a transformer. The other day, I thought, oh, you know what? I'm going to slow cook some of these country ribs. Those are the funniest things, by the way, picnic ribs that are just like giant chunky slices of pork shoulder. But
yeah.
And so I took a bunch of bricks off one side, stacked them up higher on one side, built me a second elevation. I don't know. That thing's probably 16 inches, 10, 12, 12, 16 inches taller than the other one. So I could slow cook them. That's when I got rained out, though. They had been on about 2.5-3 hours. So they had a good bit of smoke, nice little smoke ring when I cut into them.
Yeah. But how's it going with your link? Because I was looking at it and I was wishing there was a way, depending on what I wanted to cook, even to have the grill grates a little closer to the fire.
Yes. So I have, it's the nice thing about it is the way I have it built is all you do is take your grill off either. So without gloves before you light it, or just with some gloves, even after it's been running a while, you just remove a couple of bricks from each side. Where the because it has walls, and then it has a second set of bricks on the inside where the grate sits, and so I just remove some bricks and lower it, boop boop boop, you know.
You know all these cool restaurants now that do live fire cooking, they got these fancy
cranks. Yeah, with the hand cranks,
and yeah, they're so awesome.
They're badass, but
it's so cool.
They're not cheap. No,
I've looked into it.
Yeah, we're not there yet.
I've looked into. You know, my dream is to have it, their, you know, architectural built in,
yeah,
you know, cooking apparatuses, wood fire ovens, grills, like all for that sort of stuff. And it's going to cost money.
Costs a lot of money, man.
It's going to cost some money.
Which is why we got to get Evec 2 needs to be in Walmart and Costco. And then you and I, we won't have any problems building any fire pit we want.
And then we'll just quit.
Yeah. Well, I'll quit my day job.
I mean, yeah. I mean, quit trying to get into stores. Like,
well, look, Costco is like my white whale. You know? It's my
hey, you're going to need a bigger bottle.
It's my Moby Dick. I've got some picked out. It's going to be a double, what are those, 32 ounces? Approximately, it's two of those, a spicy and a original strapped together, and I don't know what the price would be yet. Whatever 100. I'm thinking, they probably are going to want it to be less than whatever I'm thinking.
I think Walmart is the worst about that stuff, from what I hear.
That's why I'm not touring with Walmart. People keep asking me, "Are y'all going to be in Walmart?" I'm not in a hurry to be in Walmart.
I don't know if it's even viable at this point.
No, it's not right now.
Yeah.
It would be a lot of capital outlay for a low margin.
Exactly. Exactly. You'd have to get your manufacturing cost like microscopic.
Yes. There now to meet, yes.
To meet Walmart prices.
Yep. And I think Costco does more localized rollout stuff, because I know they have like Jambalaya Girl, which is a local little jambalaya mix in a box. She's in our Costco, and I'm sure she's not in every Costco. Right. She's probably she's probably in like the southeastern region or whatever, however they've got their markets worked out. But anyway.
Yeah.
But anyway. So we have some Q&A that we're gonna go through. And you and I should be really good at this Q&A.
We've already done it once.
Yeah, we've practiced. Right?
Yep.
That's what I'm going to call it.
I have a bunch of questions that people ask, and they were really good questions.
No, they're great questions. And you know what's nice is I have a few questions that I didn't get to from my end, which will be perfect. So we can work these in also. And Christy has some questions that she wants to talk about.
Cool.
So.
Very cool.
Are yours close at hand?
Got them right here.
Let's boogie.
All right, from Mike Jamrazzi. What is a completely overrated and overused spice?
Holy shit, Aaron! Can you see right now what I'm looking at? I don't know if you can tell what I'm looking at because the screen is too blown bright. Out. Blah. Oh, now you can tell. This is actually, if you just go to our Facebook. Go to notifications. You will see this. This is. Let me just read this as an answer to that question.
Okay.
Are you ready? Because I have this, and then I have sort of like have some accompanying information, and then you and I will expound on what we think is an overrated spice. Because I know we have some ideas.
Yeah.
From Tony Rittinger, and I hope I'm not botching his last name. This dude's badass. He's a one-legged barbecue on Instagram. You've seen his stuff.
Yeah.
Got that really cool lab. I thought this stuff was pretty good. Been using it for a few months now, until this weekend when I ran out. Had to use that other brand. Tony's is what he's talking about. That everyone knows, and I share and I share a name with. His name's Tony. My food just tastes like super salty cayenne. That's it. Nothing else. Because he was meal prepping. He's doing basically like Body by Barbecue is what his hashtag is. It's pretty awesome. He's meal prepping, trying to cook a bunch of food. Now I know that AT is really dang good. So much more robust flavor, herbs, a reasonable level of spices, a level of salt that doesn't overpower. Whatever you put it on, I got to make sure never to run out again.
There you go.
That's a review Tony just put out there. And so... That being said, what do you feel like is a overrated spice?
Yeah, I mean, as far as spice mixes go, yeah, I mean, good Lord. You hate to talk shit, but in Louisiana, obviously, it's Tony's.
Yeah.
And it's... I don't know, it's not a Louisiana spice to me. It's like a seasoned salt. And that's fine, whatever.
Yeah.
It probably, I have fond memories of going to Louis over there on off campus.
Yep.
Louis Diner.
Love it.
24 hours a day. And, you know, they had their potatoes, like the fried potatoes wedges cut up and it had, you know, Tony's and green onions on it. And that was it.
Tony's and green onions and Whirl.
Whirl, yeah. And it was delicious. I loved it.
It's partying food, man. It's when you've been out, hanging out, visiting, bullshitting, drinking. Oh,
man. So good.
Yep.
So good. But I'll give you a good example of like that, kind of that versus what a place like that is all about. I remember one time I was sitting in there and a guy goes, hey, do y'all use Louisiana crawfish in this etouffee or something like that? Whatever it was.
Mm-mm.
And he goes, no. And he's like, wait, why not? And he's like, because it's, you know, X whatever a pound.
Yep.
You know, the guy's just like, yeah, I can't afford it. Yep. If you want cheap double. Food here.
Yep.
Yeah. And so, and that stuck with me that's over a decade ago. I heard him say that. I was like, I'm down here in Baton Rouge at this like icon of a joint. And it's just, I still like it, and I appreciate it for what it is.
Exactly. But, you have a better, you have a better informed perspective on it now.
Yeah. So just like Tony is saying, Tony on Facebook, and I'm not just trying to plug the spice right now, but it's just no contest. So yeah, Tony Chatteries, or however you say it, is incredibly overrated as far as Louisiana and Southern stuff. The only other thing I would say that I think is overrated and people don't know how to use, and people should put in the time to just make their own paste instead of a powder, is chili powder. I think chili powder, for the most part, sucks.
And it's pretty heavily leaned on by a lot of people, you know?
Yeah. Then, my secret ingredient, a little bit of chili powder. And I'm like, shut up. And I make chili, and I've made chili for people, you know, for a birthday party or just whatever. And honestly, I ain't trying to brag, but I blow people's mind when I make chili. And it's because I toast and then soak and make a paste from, you know, not fresh chilies. They're dried chilies that you get at the Mexican market or whatever. Right. Like it's 1 million times, not just like, it's twice as good.
It's a lot.
a million times better. And I first learned that from Alton Brown. He used to preach that. He was like, chili powder is actually garbage. So
there is we got to do this, and it's coming up. It's going to be this fall. There's a chili cook-off in Abita Springs. You get to drink a beat of beer.
Okay, I'm in.
We go and we go to this chili cook-off, and it's gorgeous. The weather's normally really nice. Yeah, and we'll do a Vec 2 chili.
I think people... I get passionate about chili because I don't even think it's that good.
Well, because it's a simple thing too, you know. Yeah, it's like,
but
yeah,
I don't put beans in chili. I just make it with just meat and
meat.
You know, it's just meat.
I hate beans in chili. Don't even.
It's so dumb. And people, oh, I've never even heard of chili without beans. Like, you haven't fucking heard of chili. You ever heard of chili verde? Chili verde doesn't have fucking beans in it. Chili Colorado doesn't have fucking beans in it.
And what's chili Colorado?
Chili Colorado is like a dark red chili with beef. With beef, I think. Yep. I guess it could be pork
dark
too.
Dark red but, with beef.
And then, you know, chili verde is a pork chili.
Yeah.
That's, you know, green.
Green, yeah.
But I like the Texas, like a Texas brisket chili. And it's just chunks of brisket that are tender as fuck.
Do you do both? Some ground and some? You do just cut up, just some diced up, chunked up brisket?
Chunked up in a fresh made chili paste.
Do you smoke it first?
Stew. I have and I will, but I don't always. It depends on what I want.
Because I'm already...
If I have a brisket and it's left over and that's what I'm going for, then sure. But I'm also a big fan of not smoking. So, and throwing some good smoked bacon in there to bring some of those flavors in, I'm okay with. So,
right.
But also, I like hot dog chili too. Just ground beef.
You mean beanie?
Ground beef slop. Just like slop. No beans and it's just ground beef slop.
Dude, I love that stuff.
Oh, this is good.
Love it. Let me tell you. Let me give you a little. Let me admit a little bullshit here. It's funny. There's a little. Have you been to El Maguey in Baton Rouge?
Yeah, I went a while ago. Yeah,
long time ago. We still go once in a while. Let me tell you one of the reasons we go. When you're eating carnivore, like we're eating, like almost all meat. Man, I can go in there and I can get like pork fajita meat, chicken. I can get carne asada. I can get ground beef. I get that chili sauce you talking about.
Preach.
Oh, man. Anyway, and it's one of those funny places. If I ever, I'm going to do it one day as a prank to screw with somebody. Actually, I have done it. I did it at work. I did a small version of it. I'll tell you in a second. But I'm telling you, I could plate up some El Maguey, fancy Mexican looking stuff like you would get at Superior Grill. And people would be like, man, this is the best Mexican food I ever had.
Yeah.
It's because it's a buffet. Everybody's like, it can't be that good.
Yeah.
You know how I'm saying. Anyway, but that chili sauce, that's what made me think of it. It made me think about that place because I love their little chili sauce.
All right, let's move on to another question. We went on a real...
We didn't even get to the other ones. Is Old Bay overrated?
I don't know if it's overrated because it's really fucking good on seafood. I think
it's really good. It's got MSG in it. That's why it's so good. And celery.
I am very pro MSG.
That's why it's so
everybody
good.
Everybody needs to stop being racist fucks and not talking shit about MSG.
I'm gonna tell you, I won't talk too much shit about MSG, but I'm gonna just be straight with you. They have taken lab creatures, mice, rats, lab mice, and they feed them food with MSG and they can't stop eating because it's hyperpalatable and they gain weight.
Right. Fuck yeah.
So here's the problem. It's like the thing where people say sulfates are bad. They're not as bad as everybody thinks they are. Okay. They're just not. And I know you and I have talked about that before. It's the same with MSG. It's not that it's like chemically that bad for you. It's just what it does to the food.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Now that's what it was invented to like blast your taste buds and just make them water and water and water. And if you ever get accent and you just lick it, dude, it's so weird. It makes the food better.
And yes, if the food is better, you just want to keep shoving that fried rice down your throat or those noodles or whatever it is. And I'll take it.
Yep.
The problem is with that is our, in America, the lifestyle that accompanies it. It's like you go to Japan and eat bowls of ramen and then you're going to walk around Tokyo all day. You're not getting fat.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. And it's what else
because you're walking. Eating. Yeah. You're walking 10 miles a day. You're eating a lot of fish, stuff like that. You're not eating, you know, fast food and stuff.
So. Exactly. It's what else you're eating. It's all that other stuff. Yeah. Christy and I are reading Sacred Cow right now. And the best part about this book is that it's things that I've read or been told, because I research and read a lot. I learned a lot about that kind of stuff, but it's still blowing my mind.
Yeah.
So anyway, what's the next question?
Jameson William. I'm so intimidated by cooking and I don't know where to start. I'm sorry, Jameson. Are there some easy starter meals you tend to suggest just so you can get a feel for the basics? That's a great question.
It is a great question.
So,
I seem to remember you have, I'm going to be honest, the perfect sort of starter meal is not coming to mind for me.
So like
what, duck what la do you ange, think is a perfect
duck la starter ange, beef Wellington.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, turtle Gordon. Soup.
All right, Gordon Ramsay. What you got? Roast chicken.
Yeah, it's roast chicken, man. That's the place to start. There's nowhere else. Roast chicken. It is a whole roast chicken. You learn how to cook that chicken, you're off to the races. Just and cook 20 of them before you even start cooking anything else. Just cook, get real good at roasting that chicken, because once you're good at roasting that chicken, you can be good at roasting anything.
I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you another one. Roasting chicken is good. I think what roast chicken does, especially the way you did your YouTube video, is it proves to you that this is not rocket science.
Exactly.
And that it proves that it does not have to be like fancy and blow your mind and just be ridiculous. And it proves that just mastering the simple shit will make your food just ridiculous. Just learning how much salt to put.
Yeah. Injecting and basting and all that stuff.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to tell you, a simple thing would be, for me, I think, honestly, a seared steak in a skillet.
There you go. We're tracking on similar,
you know,
parallel.
And it's because I love the saute pan. I love playing on the stove. It's one of my favorite things to do is the saute pan and my spoon and my butter and my bullshit, all that fun stuff. But you take a big fat, and you know, you've done this in some of your videos. You take a big fat ribeye.
Fat.
Big old fat ribeye. Or a filet, let's be honest. To me, a filet. And also, when you're learning all this sort of stuff, don't be afraid of using a thermometer.
Oh, for sure.
No, don't. It's silly to be a word. Oh, well, shouldn't I be able to feel it and the bullshit and all this feeling of the fingers and how does this feel? And feeling it and learning what it looks like will come with time. But just learning to put good color on it, roll it over, put some herbs, baste it with the butter, slide the thermometer in there, slide it in the oven, you know, set it to where, you know, 125, 128, somewhere in there where you can kind of come out and you're still mid rare and you got room to go, you know. And I'll tell you what,
along those lines, I pan seared ribeyes and some prime sirloins the other night for Cassie.
Yeah.
I had the ribeye, big thick ribeye.
Yep.
And I overcooked it. But guess what?
It's because easy to
do. Ribeye.
It was good.
Because it's a ribeye, it was still fucking delicious.
My favorite way to cook a ribeye is a little past mid rare because I get to render more of that fat and that fat gets crispier and, you know.
There's a fair argument for that.
Yeah.
There's a fair argument.
Like if I go to Sullivan's, because I know the Sullivan's here in town, they got some dudes working the broiler that know what the hell they're doing. I usually order my ribeye at Sullivan's medium.
Okay.
And the big reason is I know they're going to bring it to me actual medium, not mid well. Because a bad restaurant will bring you medium and it's actually, they're bringing you mid well because they don't know where medium is.
Yeah.
And they still think well has zero pink in it.
Right.
So, but anyway, so there's two, right? Roast chicken
and steak. And then, As far as just like generalize having some, you know, learn, you know, eggs are a whole thing.
Yeah, we discussed eggs last time. I think get comfortable doing a fried egg, get comfortable doing a real good scrambled egg. I mean, even get comfortable doing some simple stuff like making a quiche.
There you go.
I mean, man, when I was working in the kitchen, that used to be one of my favorite things to do, make a really good quiche. And it's not hard. It's one of those things that like people just like fawn over it. You know, like on a brunch menu that just blows their mind. Oh, my God, it's so good. Yeah. But, man, it's really basic. It's really simple. But
easy. What is a staple item that should almost always be made from scratch and never bought pre-made from a store? Pasta, for example.
What are you talking about?
Save time and money by buying dried or go all out and make homemade? There's a lot going on here. There's a misconception, and I feel like this is – especially people that are newly into learning how to like cook at a higher level, or maybe they just started getting into watching food TV shows or whatever.
Yeah, they want to get fancy.
Yeah, they think that, oh, fresh pasta is, and I went through this. You know, fresh pasta is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's great, but it's just not. And it's not even, you know, that's not a thing in Italy where it's like, oh, fresh pasta is the only way. No, they use a shit. Right. They use a shit ton of dried pasta. So if you think everybody's rolling out fresh pasta in their house in Italy every night, you're out of your mind.
Right. And I think for me, like back when when I was still doing pasta and like in the restaurant, I love fresh pasta for certain things.
It's great.
You know, and you used to make some amazing like raviolis and that kind of thing.
Tagliatelle.
Tagliatelle is my favorite. We made that fruit de mer.
Ooh, babe.
Pasta. Remember that with the lobster roe? Oh, man.
Yep.
But it's like you said, it's not the kind of thing where you just, you know, it's automatically better because it's homemade.
Right.
It's different. You even like the toothiness of a dry pasta more, right?
Absolutely. Well, it depends on the cut. You know, it's like, I mean, a fresh spaghetti is kind of cool. But a fresh spaghetti for me doesn't work as well with certain dishes as it does with others. So it's just a different experience altogether.
Right.
There's just some pasta cuts that are just, if they're fresh, it's incredible. Like pappardelle. I love fresh pappardelle or fresh tagliatelle. Tagliatelle. But like dried spaghetti and like dried rigatoni, it's kind of garbage fresh because it just falls flat on itself.
Right.
It can't hold up. So give that to me dried.
Yeah. Exactly. I would imagine some of those were not invented to be had fresh.
No, I think you're 100% right. So I don't know everything there is to know about pasta and the origins and what was meant for what. I do know that certain pastas are meant for certain sauces from certain regions and all that kind of stuff. But it is a combination of fresh and dried. It is not, you know.
Right.
There's been a movement because once people discovered there's such a thing as fresh pasta and you try that, it is mind-blowing.
Oh, it's so good.
It's really good. But move on from that and learn how to make dried pasta correctly and you're going to.
Yep. Yeah. And if you're wanting to do some fresh pasta, make some fresh pasta.
It's a great time.
You're not ruining anyone's night if you serve them.
No.
Dry pasta.
To me, making fresh pasta, and I can't wait for the kids to get older because to me, that'll be a family thing. You know, hey, we're going to, let's make some tortellinis because it takes forever. But then it's special too. There's value in that, you know. There's value in that work to be put in.
I think so too.
Is there something that you know, she said, is there something that should always be made from scratch, never be bought pre-made from a store? Is there something that pops up in your mind to that aside from
I can tell you something that we have in our refrigerator at all times, and it's our mayo, our aioli.
Ah, yes. You guys are
And I think that some things that you buy from the store are not either, you know, better enough, like appreciably different quality wise.
and some things are not that much better health-wise. I think making your own aioli or, you know, homemade mayo or whatever you want to call it, it is appreciably better flavor and it's 10 times better for you health-wise.
Yeah. And like if you use a better quality oil or something like that.
Yeah,
or,
you can you, yeah. you have total control over what oil you use. We're not supposed to be eating a bunch of weird vegetable oils, which is what almost every single mayonnaise is made out of. And if you buy a mayo from the store and it says made with olive oil, if you look at the ingredients, the first ingredient is still some sort of weird soybean oil. They just happen to add olive oil to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's marketing. Not to mention it tastes like shit. And it's super oily. I know you like Duke's.
Oh, yeah. But
that's a different thing. That's a totally different thing. That's regular old classic mayo. When you make your own aioli, you learn it, you get the recipe down, and then you can really get really delicious with it and start, you know, use a whole ton of like Tabasco chipotle sauce, which is my favorite. It's my only Tabasco that I buy is chipotle. You use a ton of that in there. You use like, or you can switch it up and use like either Crystal, what our favorite one is, but then we use Sambal Elite.
Yes, sir. Chili
paste, basically. Oh, my God.
Oh, you know what? I started dreaming.
So good.
I started dreaming yesterday. While you're,
oh, what?
You mentioned Sambal and this triggered, I want to get this out there on the line. I started dreaming yesterday about it was a restaurant dish idea, basically. Say I had a po' boy shop or something. We're talking about a kind of a Southern or Cajun banh mi. You hear?
Yeah.
And it's got rillettes.
Yep.
And smoked pork belly slices.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And it's got avatu aioli.
Yep.
And then it's got, you know, the pickles and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And on some po' boy bread. Whew. That would be good. Don't you think?
That would not be bad.
That'd be good.
It would not be bad.
Anyway, I just had to get that out there.
Get it out there on the line. Yeah, man. The aioli, the you got to, if you start keeping, and I've had several people that I'm not the only one, you know, people have made the recipe. It's on our website. It's super simple. You literally put everything in the blender. I even know people that don't slowly pour the oil in. They just put it all in the blender and turn it on and it emulsifies. I recommend putting all your, you know, things that aren't oil in there first, get it foamed up and delicious, and then just pour your oil in. You get a better emulsion. But anyway, make your own aioli. You will make your own mayo. You will not be disappointed.
It is really
good. You'll
get
addicted. You'll be dipping everything in it.
Yeah, it's really good. I love Duke's, but yeah. I definitely love to make the avatu aioli, and I like to make my own mayo too. But I also just am totally satisfied with Duke's that I kind of just stopped.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's the thing too. If you're gonna make your own, just like straight mayo, you know, and you're not concerned with the oils, just use a Duke's or a whatever. I can tell you. Most restaurants that you go to and they have some kind of a fancy mayo, all they did was buy industrial mayonnaise and stir something into it. They're not making their own aioli.
Call it aioli, yeah.
Yes. Chipotle-oli. I won't tell you who said that. He made it at a restaurant in a catering operation that was attached to a hotel. Chipotle aioli. We're gonna make chipotle aioli. I'm like, all right, man, great. Let's see how you make your aioli. And then he goes out and he gets that big, you know, the jug. It's like this big around. And you just dump that stuff out.
You can hear it. You just hear it coming out.
Now look, let me tell you something. The finished product was not disgusting because then he stirred in about three or four cans of the chipotles in a can with the adobo sauce.
Yep.
You know, you puree them up and you dump them in. But anyway. Fuck, we get lost on some tangents.
Nah, it's good. It's good info.
Your own aioli.
I would say that biscuits. If you're getting down with biscuits, do not buy
biscuits.
You gotta
make your own biscuits.
Don't buy them in a can. Come on, it's a joke. Have some respect. Respect yourself. Make some biscuits. It's not hard. There is a million good biscuit recipes and ratios that you can look up. Just go to any good food website. Fuck, go to New York Times or Serious Eats or
Alton Brown's got a good classic one.
I hate to say it, but I bet Paula Deen's got a good biscuit recipe if you got to.
Oh, she does. I'm not getting tangled up with that strange bird. But I'm going to tell you, Alton Brown's one of my favorite. You know, the reason I like some of his stuff is the recipes are always solid, but also he tells you why you're doing the shit you're doing, right? And so you get to learn, like, the science behind it.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of my favorite resources, especially when I was first getting started. I've been enjoying the hell out of his little videos he's been putting up with his wife, his quarantine kitchen. Have you seen any of them yet?
Yeah.
He's been making some good drinks.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. So what else? Where are we at?
Coach Schneider. I love this question because I just love my answer for it. Why can't I get carne asada or enchilada sauce right at home? Am I just dumb?
Oh, man. Look, give your answer, and then I'm going to give mine.
Listen, you don't have to make everything. This guy, Ko, I know he lives in San Diego.
Yep.
And I don't know why are you at home trying to make your own carne asada or enchilada sauce? Just go down the street, probably a half mile. You have access to some of the best Mexican food in the entire world. And just get you some.
Just get you some.
You don't need to be good at cooking everything. Like, not every, you know, it's like, I'm just saying, like, I don't make sushi at home. I don't.
No, but I mean, look. I hear you because I've done the same thing. Like, I've gone and gotten, like, takeout for, like, family get-togethers. Like, I've had things that were going on at the house. I was like, hey, I got five people showing up impromptu. I'm going to go run down the road where I know something's good, and I'm going to pick up a bunch of it for everybody.
Yeah.
And this is a case where you go pick up a bunch of carne asada. But I'm going to have Christy in here in a little while. And the best thing is I went on and did some reading on carne asada. And it's just – it's just marinated skirt, flap, or flank.
Yeah, it is. It's simple.
Cooked over fire. And I think that the cooked over fire part is probably the missing ingredient for a lot of home cooks.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's for a few reasons. I could cook you carne asada at home in a skillet, but you need the hood on. It's going to smoke up the house because you need to put some heat on it and get some char and some good flavor. Or you do it out on a gas grill, and the gas grill is not quite going to do it either.
Well,
right?
If you go by any of the Mexican joints that are doing really good carne asada, they all have a charcoal grill out there. Yep. And that they're cooking those meats over that first.
Hot.
Yes.
Yes.
And then
get a good char and then bring it inside.
They bring it in, they dice it up, and they hit it on the plancha or the flat top or whatever they're working with and put it in your taco or your burrito. But, yeah, so I don't know. Like, I mean, you learn how to cook carne asada. Again, there's a million blogs out there that have, you know, restaurant or legit recipes. But you also, if you never worked in a restaurant, you don't understand some of the stuff that goes on in a restaurant to just make stuff extra good that you don't really think to do at home.
It's like we're saying with the heat. Like, one of the reasons I was wanting that fire pit so bad was things like this. If I've got a fire pit in my backyard, literally just a – and let me tell you something. You can do this in a Weber.
Yeah, yeah,
for sure. But you don't want just charcoal. You want some live fire.
Yeah.
But get you some good live fire. Learn how to let your coals die down where you don't have fresh wood burning and smoking. Get you some hot coals, one fresh log. Christy's got the marinade down, you know, lemon juice, lime juice, oil. In our case, usually light olive oil or avocado oil, garlic, cilantro, pureed up into a paste, rubbed all over that meat, and then we just cook it super hot.
That's it.
It's funny because I wasn't even ever calling it carne asada. We're always just like, you want to do some, you know, grilled beef, like some fajita meat. Like,
yeah.
You know? But... man, she does it all the time. We used to do we've done a pork tenderloin the same way.
Yeah.
Same marinade. You just cook it down over that fire.
Well, you anyway, know, it's funny out there in San Diego because all the carne asada, you know, it's like well done diced meat, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's, man, but it's good. Yeah, I don't know how to explain it. I wouldn't want medium.
I understand.
I wouldn't want medium rare meat in my taco or my burrito. Right.
No, you basically cut it up and it's like cooked a couple of times. Like it's cooked the one time and then they cut it up, dice it up, throw it on a flat top, heat it up, get it delicious while they're right before they're putting it in your taco.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's what's going on there. But I'm going to tell you that first ingredient of that fire, a lot of salt and fire.
Yeah.
You know, goes a long way to make homemade carne asada taste like somebody made it at a restaurant.
All right, Co, get you some fire. Enchilada sauce? Fuck if I know, man. I don't know. I don't know nothing about it. I can't help
with enchilada sauce. I do have something that is probably an abomination, but if you go to the store and you go to the hot sauce area and you buy the Taco Bell brand hot sauce and you put it on a little taco, you will be surprised at how delicious it is.
I don't doubt it. I had Taco Bell for lunch, I mean, and I ain't even ashamed.
I don't eat Taco Bell anymore. I don't even know what the hell you ate at Taco Bell. I don't want to know. I don't eat Taco Bell anymore because I feel like dog meat after I eat it.
I felt terrible. I felt awful.
I literally want to. I want to walk off a bridge after I eat Taco Bell.
I tried to walk off a bridge, and they stopped me.
You just have to stop eating. But you can make yourself some badass fire roasted beef. Slice you up some avocados. Put you some whatever else you like on there for your taco, and you dump you some of that Taco Bell hot sauce, and that shit is good.
There you go. There you go. I'm all out of questions.
Get the hell out of here.
Yep, I'm out. Well, one guy, really? one guy asked why.
Why what?
That's it. Why?
Oh well, we can't help him.
Yeah,
there's no helping that guy. All right, I've got some good questions today, and I want you to weigh in on this.
All right,
my buddy Kevin Davis. He messaged me. It was actually Sunday. He messaged me. He said, "Hey, I got a couple of quick questions. What sort of rice would you use in a paella?" And then also he was asking me about where we find our spicy Grillo's pickles because those things are freaking delicious.
Yeah.
But I did some research on this because I was kind of curious. What rice is the right rice to use in paella?
Well, funny enough, I made paella this week. I didn't take any pictures. I didn't take any pictures of it or anything. But
yeah. Well, look, man. That's a shame.
Well, it was my first time, and so I just wanted to. I wanted to ease into it and not feel too much pressure.
I guess you did some research on what rice was the best.
Well,
rice.
I bought paella rice from Whole Foods. It just is so paella. Cheated. I cheated. I mean, it's literally paella rice, and I don't remember what exactly it's called.
There's a few of them.
Yeah.
Bamba is one of them.
Yes, yes.
There's like one other one.
They look like risotto almost.
I was about to tell you, a lot of people use an arborio rice.
Yeah, you can do
in
that.
In lieu of. From all the stuff that I read, you need either a shorter or medium grain rice. You don't want a long grain rice.
Nope.
So like basmati and like... you know, the classic Mahatma long grain, those are out. Those suck anyway. No, but basmati actually is delicious, but you shouldn't be using long grain rice anyway.
Right.
That's just I'm sorry, but that's just how I feel. There's no flavor in the damn shit. And when, you know, I ended up telling him, I was like, man, because I read a lot of people online, a lot of people like to use jasmine.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because it's a few reasons. It, you know, with a paella, you want it to end up like nice and sticky, right?
Yes.
You don't need it to. It's not like a loose falling rice like an Uncle Ben's.
No.
Right? It's a sticky kind of nice texture to it. And frankly, jasmine lends itself to that if you get the stock ratio right. Or you just use an arborio. But if you use an arborio, you gotta adjust your cook time. Arborio is going to take a little longer to cook. It's a big, fat, chunky little rice grain, right?
The Bamba rice to me looked like
doesn't it?
Arborio, yeah.
How aromatic is the Bamba rice?
I thought it was awesome. I just thought it was awesome. I don't know. You know, it's definitely not aromatic in the way that like
jasmine
or basmati is super aromatic.
Yeah,
But I like that texture. I prefer that little tight.
It's got a little chewiness to it.
Yeah, it's nice. So, and it's funny, I made it using, you know, I didn't have any like Spanish chorizo or anything like that, or lingüica. And I just made it using some Billy's, not Billy's. What's the place y'all send me to in Baton Rouge? And
Ronnie's.
Ronnie's on Dewey. Yeah. Ronnie's on Dewey.
You made a coon-ass pie. I like it.
Listen, it was Ronnie's on Dewey and shrimp, some Gulf shrimp. And I didn't have any saffron, so I did a shrimp stock with the shrimp shells and threw some turmeric and cayenne in there.
Yep.
And used that. And then I just had onions.
I'm down.
Onions, red pepper, and garlic, and tomatoes and stock and white wine. And that was my paella. And it was delicious. It was really good.
Did you have a pan?
I don't have a paella pan. I used my cast iron.
Did you cook it over a fire?
I did not cook it over a fire. I cooked it in my house. And guess what? It was just fine.
You fucked up. Here's this is another reason I built that fire pit. Because you know what's coming up next?
Paella.
A paella. A jambalaya.
There you go.
Over that there fire.
There you go.
You know, it's easy to fall into this trap of like, oh, let me go buy some equipment. I need to go buy a big-ass pot and a stand and stick it over the fire so it looks like I'm at the Jambalaya Festival in Gonzales. Well, let me tell you something. I got a cast iron pot, and I just built myself a fire, a stand, and I'm going to cook a jambalaya on that son of a bitch.
There you go.
And it's going to look good, and it's going to taste good, but I want to do a paella on it.
There you go. Also. I want to do a paella over live fire, but I was just sitting around. My kids are out of town. My wife's at work. It was 11 a.m. I'm like, I ain't.
Well, I'll tell you, one of the things that that I did some reading on, actually, this goes back to our Weber talk earlier. Just figure out how to do it on the Weber. There's a ton of people who make paella on their Weber.
Well, the Weber's, you know, I got the hole cut out, the middle cut out.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's specifically set up to do wok. To do paella, like all that stuff. So it's just perfect.
Yeah. And if you're doing it on there, and you might as well have a mix of charcoal and see the reason people like live fire and not charcoal is because you can control the temperature easier
of a live fire.
Wood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because you can frankly just grab a couple of logs and get them out of there.
Yeah. Exactly.
If it's too hot, which you can't do with charcoal.
No, those coals are. Rocking.
It's like wrangling cats. You're not going to be able to get those out of there. Yeah. It's going to be a shit show. So, but anyway, you got any other questions, Mike?
I got nothing.
Other questions.
I'm fresh out.
Fresh out.
I think we should do. I do like this Q&A track. The asking people.
We're going to do a lot more Q&A, man. Christy has a few things.
Get her ass in here.
She's trying to wrangle the rugrats. You know, my rugrats, dude, they're wild and woolly. You know, they don't mess around.
Dude, my house is so quiet this week. It's unbelievable.
You know, you can just go to hell.
I'm sorry. Well, and we start homeschooling, you know, what, next week? Two weeks. 2 weeks from now?
Yeah.
Hold on. Let me see the date.
Why?
Well, I'm just trying to track with school. Look, I'm new to this.
I'm just fucking with
you. Don't